International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Herbert Marshall and Maureen O'Sullivan in Dear Victim, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel, welcoming you to the 22nd of the new series of Silver Theater Dramatic Productions. Before we introduce today's play and its players, we'd like to announce that next week, we'll welcome back to Silver Theater Ginger Rogers. And in weeks to come, you'll hear such brilliant stars as Joan Crawford, Lee Tracy, Shirley Ross, Helen Hayes, and others. But now the lights grow dim and the silver curtain rises on the first act of Dear Victim by Grover Jones and True Boardman, starring Herbert Marshall as Robert Desmond and Maureen O'Sullivan as Eileen O'Rourke, with Eric Snowden as Barclay. Derby Day at Epsom Downs, gaily event of the British sporting year, when gentleman and gypsy, banker and bookmaker, royalty and roustabout are one and all slaves for the day to the whim of fortune. And as our curtain rises, the moment of moments is at hand, when into the straightaway and driving for the finish come the horses that carry the hopes and fears of all who watch them and millions more besides. As they near the finish, Heather Queen, 100-to-1 shot, is out in front, with Golden Lad, the favorite, coming up. For a moment, they're stride for stride, and then the finish. It's Golden Lad by half a length. The crowd goes mad, while in a box on the upper tier of the grandstand.
A fine race, Mr. McIntyre. As fine a race as I ever have seen, Mr. McIntyre.
But your wager was on Heather Queen, Mr. Desmond.
A mere £2,000. But your husband's horse won, and finely, too. Very finely. Congratulations, Mrs. McIntyre.
Name of heaven, man. Are you flesh or are you iron? You lose a fortune because your horse loses by a head, and your only words are congratulations for someone else.
Well, I'm glad for you. And now, about our private bet. Barclay. Where's that man of mine? Barclay.
Yes, Mr. Desmond, sir.
My American estate, Barclay. I made a wee wager with Mr. McIntyre here that if his horse beat mine in the race just now, I'd sell it to him at half its worth.
The American estate, sir, you're selling that?
I am. What about the size, Barclay? About around 8,000 acres, is it not?
More nearly 10,000, sir. Some of the finest terrain in all of southern New Mexico, overlooking the River Rio Grande.
It all sounds perfect, lad, but I feel some guilt about the price. It's not enough.
It's the price I mean, sir. Foolishly or wisely. And there's not good inducement to take a fathom more. Anyway, nothing to fill a Scotchman.
You're a braw lad, Robert Desmond. They will meet in the morning to close the deal.
Aye, sir. And you know, it's only proper we should have an estate there on the other side. For as I recall it now, there was a McIntyre who practically molded American history.
It is the price I have named, Herr von Müller, foolishly or wisely, and I will not accept a fair enigma. Anyway, not from a... for my fellow showman.
Jawohl, mein Herr Desmond.
You know, it is only proper that you should have an estate on the other side, mein Herr. As I recall it now, there was a von Müller who practically molded American history.
Eh bien, Monsieur Bouchard, eh bien. But this is the price I have named, and I do not accept a centime more. Anyway, not from a fellow Frenchman.
Yes, Monsieur Desmond, it is agreed.
And you know, Bouchard, it is only proper that you should have an estate there on the other side. For as I recall it now, there was a Bouchard who practically molded American history. That, Signor Alberti, is the price I have named, and nothing would induce me to take a little more. Oh, no, Bart, it's no use. We'll have to forget about Signor Alberti for a while. For some reason, the Italian escapes me.
Ah, but if you'll recall, you also had trouble with the Russian, sir, and you finally mastered it. The Italian will come. It's only a matter of time.
Indeed. Well, I'm not so sure that I care, Barclay.
Not care?
I'm about fed up. I'm tired of dashing from country to country, staying in one place only until we've lined up a victim, and then having sold him, rushing on somewhere else. You may believe it or not, but I was positively reluctant to cash Monsieur Bouchard's check before we left Paris.
Reluctant, sir? Mm. Why? Is it your fault if people insist on buying your property from you?
Insist, Barker? Of course, these little plans of ours have nothing to do with it. Accidents and all the rest.
Well, we didn't make human nature what it is, sir. And if it's a fact that a Scotsman will more readily trust a Scotchman, a German, a Swede, and so on, are we to be blamed for taking advantage of that fact? Particularly when I have the accents to teach you, and you, sir, have the, shall I say, savoir-faire to carry them off. Ah, what an actor you would have made, sir.
You flatter me about that. Now, there's one thing you overlook. The matter of conscience. Aren't you ever the least disturbed by the moral aspect of our activity?
Not at all, sir. After all, you were the real victim in the first place. The injustice of it all. Your Uncle Joseph going off to America, then dying and leaving you 100,000 acres in New Mexico.
Uncle Joseph could hardly be blamed for dying, Bart.
But he could be blamed, sir, for fostering false hopes. That trip we made, sir, to your American estates, and our first sight of them. Miles, actually miles of desert.
But the river, Barkley, don't forget the river.
A moist mirage, sir, if I may call it that. A moist mirage complete with quicksands.
Well, I never told you this, but there was a strong rumor that my Uncle Joseph came by the entire 100,000 acres in a poker game.
A poker game? You mean he won, sir?
No, Barkley, he lost.
I believe it. And what of the future, sir?
Future, Barkley?
Quite, sir. The only prospect I've been able to line up for us is Signor Alberti in Rome. But if you feel your Italian is not yet equal to the task, well...
Suppose we simply rest a while. What time do we arrive in Nice?
At 7, sir.
Good. That won't be too late to drive over to Monte Carlo.
Oh, not Monte Carlo, sir. Surely you remember the last time?
Barclay, there's an indescribable something that draws me to Monte Carlo once again, and this time I shall win.
Very well, sir. But, Mr. Desmond, just in case you shouldn't, sir, wouldn't it be as well to, shall we say, remain incognito for just a day or so? When you first arrive, I mean?
In other words, you want me to lie low while you line up another victim, is that it?
You put it so eloquently, sir. After all, there is still that one last section of your American estates to be disposed of, and...
Barclay, you're right, as always, and it shall be done. Until you find out what nationality I can afford to be, I'll compromise by being international with my French. But you needn't fear. I'm going to win. I have a system about you.
Faites vos jeux, mesdames, monsieur. Faites vos jeux. Make your bets.
Pardon me, sir, but could I trouble you to put this on my number?
Comment? Que voulez-vous?
My number, 27. I can't reach it. Would you be so kind?
The monsieur speaks no English, mademoiselle. Oh. Here, if you please, I shall place it for you. Bien. Rien va plus.
Three.
Oui, the mademoiselle is correct. Trois et noir.
Oh, them's the last three chips, Mr. Banker, and me that swore I'd break the bank at Monte Carlo. What are the chances of you doing something about it this time?
I can try, mademoiselle. Faites vos jeux.
Pardon me, monsieur. Would you... Oh, I forgot. You don't speak.
Mais oui, mademoiselle. Vingt-sept comme ça, hein?
Oh, merci. I didn't think that you understood.
Vingt-six et noir. I pity, mademoiselle, you missed by a single point. You wish more chips, perhaps?
No, merci. I don't think I'll play any more. Well, thank you just the same. Thank you.
Croupier.
Monsieur.
Gardez mes chatons.
Oh, bon, monsieur. Et maintenant, faites vos jeux, mesdames, messieurs.
Mademoiselle.
Yes? Who is it?
Oh, you.
Oui, mademoiselle.
Oh, monsieur, I hope that because I asked you to place my bet for me in there, you don't think that... Oh, but you don't speak any English, do you?
I do not. But perhaps I do speak a bit of Irish.
Well, glory be. Will you tell me what was the idea of a fellow Irishman playing the Sphinx on me in there and me trying to keep them foreigners from winning all me money?
Sure, you mustn't be quitting when you're losing. Come back and play until you win.
Well, to be truthful, sure I have no money left.
I'll lend you some. You can pay me back from what you win.
Do I look to you like a girl who'd borrow money from a total stranger?
But I'm not a stranger. We're fellow countrymen. Probably the only two Irishmen in all of Monte Carlo at just this moment.
Do you think so now?
And as for knowing each other, that's quickly remedied. I'm Robert Desmond.
Oh, are you indeed?
Well, the truth to tell, I was just slightly curious who you might be.
Oh, were you now? Well, truth to tell, I might be almost anyone. But if you're really curious about it, my name is O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? A fairish name is O'Rourke.
Oh, is it indeed? And perhaps you find Eileen is only fairish, too?
Eileen.
sure it would be a name like that. Eileen, Maureen, Kathleen. A name as Irish as the Isle herself. Faith, no other name would suit you.
I think I'd best be going now, Mr. Desmond. Good night.
Wait. I must see you again. Have dinner with you. Lunch, tomorrow.
Dinner, lunch? Which would you be meaning?
Well, why not both?
You overlook one thing, Mr. Desmond. There happens to be a Mr. Thomas O'Rourke, who happens to be my father, and who happens to be in Monte Carlo,
your
too.
Father. Well, bring him along. Both of you be my guests.
All right. Perhaps we will. Mind you now, I said perhaps. Then, on the other hand, perhaps we won't. Good night, Mr. Desmond.
Good night. Good night, Eileen.
Mr. Desmond, sir, you must have won, judging by your face, sir.
Won, Barclay?
At the roulette, sir, surely.
Ah, can you imagine? Sure, and I clean forgot it, I had.
Sure, and you clean forgot. And may I ask, sir, when the green mantle descended?
Just 10 minutes ago, Barclay. I told you we should come to Monte Carlo.
Indeed, sir.
She's beautiful, Barclay. She's perfect. You should see her eyes, blue and laughing. Her hair, with just the faintest shade of red in it.
If I may make so bold, sir, who is she?
Her name's Eileen, Barclay. Eileen O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? And her father, sir, he wouldn't be Thomas O'Rourke?
Why, yes, as a matter of fact, he is.
Ah, then you were right, sir. Monte Carlo has brought us luck. To think that you should have started it off so well.
Started it off? What are you talking about?
The girl's father, Thomas O'Rourke. I had him all picked out, sir. He's our next, our final victim.
This is Conrad Nagel again, ladies and gentlemen, taking advantage of this brief moment of intermission between Act One and Two of our performance to bring you the familiar voice of our Silver Theater spokesman. All right, John Conti?
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know how proudly a woman wears her new fur coat. With what an air of preciousness she displays it to her family and friends. Well, a woman's first sterling silver gives her even greater satisfaction. Not only because genuine solid silver is in itself so magnificent and luxurious, but even more because she knows its lustrous beauty is imperishable. Women are particularly lavish in their appreciation of international sterling silver. And when you see the exquisite grace of international sterling patterns, you'll understand why. For every detail of design reflects the loving labor of silversmiths who intimately know their task. Master craftsmen who carry on the rich heritage of beauty and quality left them by their predecessors of a century ago. Yet, incredibly beautiful as international sterling is, it's a lot easier to own than you may think. Now, if tomorrow, Monday, you'll go wherever the best silverware is sold, the dealer will be glad to show you how, under International Sterling's budget payment plan, you can buy a complete solid silver service out of income. How you can start a service with individual place settings in the lovely Enchantress pattern. 6 pieces of solid silver, as low as $16.75. Be sure to take advantage of this friendly invitation tomorrow and learn firsthand how easy it is to own solid silver that's a lifetime treasure. International Sterling Silver.
Once again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain rises on the concluding act of Dear Victim, starring Herbert Marshall as Robert Desmond and Maureen O'Sullivan as Eileen O'Rourke. Three weeks have passed. Three extremely Irish weeks for the man with many countries who is Robert Desmond. Yet somehow, to the despair of Barclay, the final coup, the sale of the last of the American estates, has not taken place. And it looks as though it never will. For, as our curtain rises...
Daddy and I both wanted to say goodbye to you, Robert.
It's been a privilege in knowing you, Desmond. Truth to tell you, the first Irishman that ever went to America and came back again, I'd give tuppence for.
I'm honored, Mr. O'Rourke.
You probably guessed by now, Robert, but Daddy isn't very fond of America.
Well, aren't you overfond enough of the two of us? Since she was four, she's been talking of going to New York and California and all such blather. Sure, you haven't helped it any with the talk of those estates of yours.
I'm sure they couldn't compare to your Donnelly Castle, Mr. O'Rourke.
You can be sure they don't. We may not have 10,000 acres, but we've tradition. 800 years of them. And a castle that Brian Brew himself...
No, would... Daddy, sure. Robert's not interested in all that. And besides, you started to say goodnight.
Huh? Oh, I did do that. Well, good night then. Eileen, you're coming along upstairs.
I'll be just a minute. Please, Daddy.
Well, see, it is no more.
You might believe it.
What don't you believe?
That I'm actually talking to you alone. You realize I haven't since that first night.
When I was so unlucky as we left, and you were playing your system. What happened to that system, by the way?
I think the less said about that, the better.
You've had bad luck ever since you've been here.
Bad luck? The only real piece of luck I've ever had was when a blue-eyed Irish girl happened to have the place next to me at that roulette table.
Oh, Robert.
Eileen.
I must go. Truly, Daddy will be...
And when shall I see you again?
Oh, sure, who knows? We sail tomorrow, and Dunelly Castle is pretty far from the Desmond Estate in New Mexico.
You're right. It's much too far. What can we do about it, Eileen?
I'm not sure how would I be knowing. But, of course, if when my father and I sail on that boat from Marseille tomorrow, if a certain Irish-American should happen to be on board, and if he should happen all of a sudden to get extremely interested in old Irish castles, well, all I can say is that Thomas O'Rourke is a very hospitable man. Good night, Mr. Desmond.
Eileen.
Pack, sir? Tonight?
Yes, Barclay, we're sailing from Marseille tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Sailing?
For Dublin.
The O'Rourke's excellent.
It's anything but excellent.
I know, sir. I've noticed that. You're not functioning with your usual speed in this particular case. Something seems to have happened to that savoir-faire we were speaking of not long ago.
Never mind about my savoir-faire. Start packing.
Very good, sir. You know, I'm sure of it, sir. There's just one answer.
One answer?
The girl. It hardly seems chivalrous, but you must influence the father through the daughter, sir.
What are you driving at, Barclay?
This, sir. This book. If there's one universal failing of young Irish girls, it's poetry. Particularly the poetry of Thomas Moore.
Barclay, what...
For example, sir, this one. The time I've lost in wooing, in watching and pursuing, the light that lies in woman's eyes has been my heart's undoing. The wisdom
That's
of...
That's enough of that. You'll start packing, Barclay.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
You should be.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Barclay.
Yes, sir.
Let me see that book, will you?
Mr. Desmond, sir. She's alone, forward on the hurricane deck.
Listen, Barclay, you're my vet. It's not my confidential spy.
I'm sorry, sir, truly, only I thought.
Well, then don't think.
I understand, sir. Believe me, I suppose I should have warned you.
Warned you? Warned
me? Yes, sir. If there's one thing that's fatal to our business, it's a woman. That is, when woman in the abstract becomes a woman in particular. In other words, a woman is the proverbial monkey wrench in the proverbial works.
Will you go away and leave me alone before I wring your proverbial neck?
But of course, sir.
Wait a minute. Where did you say Miss Eileen was?
Did I say, sir?
Yes, you said. Where is she?
Well, I'm afraid she's on the hurricane deck forward, sir. I'm afraid.
Eileen.
Robert. Oh, she's a beautiful evening.
Beautiful.
Do you know what I was doing? I was looking off to the north. Spain is over there. And people are being killed and wounded. Oh, sure, it seems all wrong somehow for some people to be suffering so much while other people are...
Yes, while other people?
I was going to say while other people are so happy. But then I suppose no one's really and truly whole kit and caboodle happy, are they?
I suppose not.
Daddy tells me he's invited you to Dunelly Castle. And you're coming. I'm glad.
Are you now?
Would you not like to go down and dance? It'd be a pity to be wasting the music.
Eileen.
Yes, Robert.
Have I ever told you how beautiful you are?
Well, not unless I'm supposed to hear things from your eyes. Then maybe you have. A little.
Have you never felt things too deeply to be able to find... just the words for them.
I can imagine it, Robert.
Eileen, listen to me.
I'm listening.
The time I've lost in ruin, in watching and pursuing, the light that lies...
A woman's eyes have been me half undoing. But that's how the rest of it goes. Did you forget?
I did not forget. But those are someone else's words, Eileen. And when you have verses from me, sure, they'll be my own.
Will they now?
And there's something I want you to remember. Will you do that?
I'll remember. I promise you.
Then it's this. That there are times when a man can hate himself for what he is. And wish with all his heart that he was something else.
That's a strange thing for you to say.
Well, it takes the place of a lot of other things I'd rather say.
Oh, I see.
Look at me.
There's no need.
Why, Eileen, you...
You've got to listen to me, Robert. Dunelly Castle, in spite of all you've heard my father say about it, I hate the place, and there's nothing I want more than to get away.
Eileen.
Remember once you said you might dispose of your estates in America? Well, I've been talking to my father about buying them.
About buying them?
Of trading them. No, trading our estates in Ireland for yours over there. And I believe that with your help, my father could be won around.
You want me to help you sell your father?
Oh, please, Robert. America's always been my dream. And from what you say of your estates, there's no place I'd rather live. Oh, please, Robert. Help me win my father to the trade. You must. You can know what this means to me.
Well, Desmond, you've seen the Nelly Castle for yourself, and if you have a heart, you've come to feel much of the tradition that clings to our very walls.
I have indeed, sir.
But since Eileen has her foolish heart sent on this American estate of yours, we'll make the trade. You have here a map of your estate.
Yes.
Here it is, sir. And I took it on myself to have a solicitor draw up a bill of sale, sir.
10,000 acres. And you value it at £10,000?
That has been the figure, sir.
Yeah, that same amount is only a fair price for the castle here. I have an agreement drawn up, too. Eileen. Eileen! Oh, where is that girl? If you'll but wait, I'll fetch it.
It's working splendidly, sir. You know, of course, what he's doing.
What?
He's trying to bilk you, sir. This castle isn't worth a farthing over 4,000, and he knows it. And he thinks he's getting property worth 10 by the exchange.
Indeed.
You're not very enthusiastic, sir, considering what this means. Despite your losses at Monte Carlo, we still have some 6,000. Then with the 4 or 5 that Dunelly Castle will bring...
Dartley, will you kindly stop making a noise like an adding machine?
Here it is. All ordered and shipshape.
Oh, Robert, Daddy tells me you've agreed to make the trade.
We have that. We've been...
It is all done with the signing. An O'Rourke, signing away Dunelly. Oh, well, give me the pen and we'll get it over.
Daddy, sure, you mustn't feel like this now, please.
Well, what matter how I feel?
It matters a great deal, Mr. O'Rourke.
What's that?
Mr. Desmond,
quiet, Bartley. I made up my mind. Mr. O'Rourke, there's something I want you to understand, you and Eileen.
Yes, Robert, what?
Come in. Well, what is it?
The telegram just come for you, sir. They said it was most urgent.
A telegram? Well, give it to me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good heavens.
Daddy, what does it say? Are you...
Yes, I'm all right. All right, Eileen. It's just that our agreement, Mr. Desmond, I shan't be able to go through with it now. This makes it impossible. I'm sorry, believe me.
But Eileen, my dear, if your father's in some sort of trouble, there's a chance that I can help.
Oh, you couldn't, Robert. Believe me.
I'll believe you when you look up here at me and tell me what is wrong.
All right, Robert. My father can't trade Dunelly Castle to you because he must sell it at once for cash. He must have money now.
But why?
Investments, Robert. Speculations that were worthless. And now there's a debt that must be met. And only cash can meet it.
How much does he need?
Oh, sure, it's nearly 4,000. So you see, there's no hope, Robert.
Is there not? Perhaps there is. Eileen, how much is Dunelly Castle really worth? In cash, I mean.
Why do you ask that?
Because I'm going to pay your father what it's worth, with the understanding that when he's ready, he can buy it back for the same price.
Oh, Robert, but why?
Why? Because you've made me want to do something, and to be something I've never been, Eileen. And this is the beginning.
Robert.
I love you, Eileen.
I can't do it. I can't.
Eileen, look at me. You're crying.
You've got to know, what? Robert.
You've got to know, Eileen.
You're not what I think.
What are you trying to say?
That I'm... What are you trying to say?
Just this, that I'm not Irish, that my estates in America are desert, and that I love you.
Oh, Robert, Robert.
What were you trying to say?
That I'm not Irish, that Dad and I never own more than an option in any castle in creation, and that I love you.
Oh, darling.
Oh, my sweet. If I'd only known you were a phony from the first, the torture it would have saved me.
Sure, and what about... and what about me? So, from the beginning, I've been the victim of a hoax.
From the beginning, darling. That night in the casino at Monte Carlo. Daddy picked you out especially because you looked so honest and so dumb.
Of course, there have been other victims before.
A dozen of them. Oh, Robert, we've sold so many castles in this country for 3 times what they're worth. But...
And I suppose that each of your victims fell in love with you.
I'm afraid they did, Mr. Desmond. Do you mind too much?
Mind? Come here.
I'm here.
I suppose you know that you're a shameless woman.
Completely.
And that you should be turned over to the nearest constable.
Exactly. Along with you.
Always. Always with me. From this day forward. You have my word on it.
Only your word, darling.
No, by heavens.
Oh, my darling. My own darling.
Yeah, Eileen, did you...
Mr.
Eileen.
Desmond, sir.
Hi, Dad. How's the old man?
Greetings, Barclay House Trix.
Why? Well, really, Eileen, now I ask you, is that any way for you to...
Oh, relax, Dad, relax, or you'll stand out as comedy relief. We're playing this scene straight.
What?
This would seem to be wolf meeting wolf, Mr. O'Rourke. I'm not going to buy your traditions, and you're not going to buy my desert.
Oh, sir, you shouldn't have said that, sir. If you don't mind my saying...
Well, I do mind your saying it, Barclay, which reminds me, you're fired. But if you can conceive of being an honest man again... We'll take you back to America with us. Right, Miss O'Rourke?
Right, Mr. Desmond.
Eileen, you mean we're going home?
I'll say we are.
Now that I think of it, I should have been back in America a long while ago. You know what, Barclay?
What, sir?
As I recall it, there was a Desmond who practically molded American history. And if there wasn't, then there's going to be.
Conrad Nagel, ladies and gentlemen. The name of the play you've just heard is Dear Victim. The names of our stars, who will be back in a moment for a personal greeting, are Maureen O'Sullivan and Herbert Marshall. And speaking of names, I wonder if you realize how much they stand for in our daily lives. An author's name on a book cover, an artist's name on a painting, the label of a smart designer in a dress. They represent recognized standards of quality. So, too, the name 1847 Rogers Brothers on silver plate represents the finest in silver plate. Silver plate that will add distinction and luster to your dinner table. For the house of 1847 Rogers Brothers has maintained leadership in silver plate design and craftsmanship for 91 years. One of the most radiant examples of their skill and artistry is the pierced pattern Lovelace. A pattern simple as all truly beautiful things are. With graceful tapering lines and wreathed orange blossom motif. A design whose sterling-like detail is really unusual. Only 1847 Rogers Brothers could create a pattern as entrancing as Lovelace and offer it to you at savings so remarkable. For just listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, a service for 8 in the Lovelace pattern, 62 pieces of beautiful silver plate, can be yours now at a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. Now, this service comes not only in Lovelace, but also other stunning 1847 Rogers Brothers patterns. See them all at your silverware dealers tomorrow, Monday, and learn on what easy payment terms you can own silver plate by the most famous silversmiths in America. 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate.
Conrad Nagel, ladies and gentlemen, before we tell you about next week's Silver Theater production, I'd like to have you meet today's stars in person. And here they are, Maureen O'Sullivan and Herbert Marshall. Well, I think you both know, without my saying so, that we at the Silver Theater have enjoyed working with both of you immensely.
Thank you, Conrad. But I must give Maureen O'Sullivan due credit, for without her stellar acting and assistance on my Irish dialect, I should have been quite a loss.
Sure, I'm thinking that both of you have been kissing the Blarney Stone.
No, seriously, though, it's been lots of fun, and I hope you'll ask me back again sometime.
We certainly shall, and now if...
I know our time's getting short, Conrad, but our Mr. Marshall has an announcement that he tells me he must make.
Oh, all right, boy. Well, come on, get on with it.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen, any dialects presented by me on this program are not to be confused with any dialects living or dead, and any such similarity is purely accidental. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Sullivan. Good night, Bart Marshall.
Miss O'Sullivan appeared on today's program through the courtesy of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, where she is now appearing in a new Tarzan picture. Mr. Marshall may currently be seen in the Paramount picture Zaza, in which he is co-starring with Claudette Colbert. Next week, Silver Theater will star Ginger Rogers in another original story by Grover Jones and True Boardman, with more original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Be sure to listen. Silver Theater originates at Columbia Square in Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.